Welcome back to Hash Rate Up. Today is all about Trojan mining. Today is a bit of a different episode. I have spoken already to Cian Bola. The interview was quite hard to do because of connection issues. And now we have two people who are non-native English speakers trying to have a conversation about a complex subject. I spoke to Cian Bola about his operation in Nigeria, about how he went from crypto trading and forex stuff to now working on a 2 megawatt site in Nigeria. It's a very inspiring story. I really hope you can see past the bad cuts and the difficult editing by a non-professional. It was a good talk. I hope you enjoy. Hash Rate Up starts now. All right. So, like I said in the introduction, I'm here with my man Cian Bola from Nigeria. We are at block height 845479. The 14-day hash rate is at 618.4. And our hash price is at 53.35. Right now, the fees are quite low as well. So hoping that you have done your UTXO management, just like my friend that I'm about to interview here. And if you haven't, check if the fees are low while you're listening to this and do it now before you regret not doing it or not taking the time. With that being said, Cian Bola, how are you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm fine, and it's a pleasure to be on this show. We've been trying to do this for some time, and we are finally here. Yeah, so I hope we can talk more and make things good.
Yeah, you're a hard man to get a hold of. So I'm very happy that we could finally make it. This has been a long time coming. Cian Bola, give people a bit of background to your person and how you got into Bitcoin. And then we'll get into your mining endeavors and just go through your company's history a little bit and where you started and where you are today.
Yeah, I studied aquaculture in college, but just like everyone else in Nigeria, we started off by doing a little bit of forex. You know, they always promise us you can make huge money, huge gains from that. So from forex, I went to shitcoin, bought some shitcoins, started trading that because we were feeling the profit margins are gonna be always high. Unfortunately, we were not experienced. I was not experienced about the whole crypto ecosystem, and so when the market crashed, I lost all my money. So that sparked the interest in Bitcoin, because I noticed Bitcoin is one of the only assets on the cryptocurrency platform which is still holding strong. So that's how my journey started. Yeah, I had to fall then rise back.
Why do you think so many people in Nigeria are trading forex and are moving into cryptocurrency after that? Why is that such a natural progression?
Nigerians are always looking for, let's say, something better, an easier way, or a way to make quick money. It's kind of common for countries, particularly in the third world countries. People are earning low minimum wage, so they will try to look for other opportunities. So and crypto, if you have the crypto platform, particularly the shitcoins, you know, they have, if you are lucky, you can get 100x, 200, 1000x in your returns. So people tend to leverage on that. So that's one of the main reasons people just say, hey, forex is like 1 to 2%, maybe trading margin. So you need a large amount of capital before you can make reasonable income. But for the crypto ecosystem, particularly the DeFi world, you know, You can turn your $10 investment to like $1,000 if you are lucky. So that's one of the main reasons people venture into that. Yeah.
I think it's the same trajectory, whether you go to Kenya or Ghana or Ethiopia, Nigeria. People that I meet are often into forex trading, and it's curious to me why that is, right? And I think it's also local sort of community builders that come in and convince people that it's a good idea, right? There's also Binance app, which is pre-installed on very affordable Asian Android phones, Asian makes mainly, and you have Binance pre-installed, and once people open that app, you know, they just get bombarded and drawn into this sort of formal gambling vibe where they cannot get their money out of. I mean, I spent half an hour last Afro Bitcoin conference. I spent half an hour with someone because I didn't have any experience on it to get their money out of their Bitcoin out of Binance and send somewhere. Yeah. Do you experience the same thing? Do you see the same things?
On the particular aspect of people getting introduced to Forex without actually knowing what it's all about, particularly all the small DeFi projects or the shitcoin project, it's rampant over here. And part of what is pushing it also is people buying mobile phones and seeing the Binance app pre-installed. You always be curious, hey, what's this app all about? Immediately you open it, you'll be giving offers and deposit $10, get $60, blah blah blah. So you would, as it's human to get greedy. It's human to want to make money. So it's I feel like it's people, they are just leveraging on the masses. And part of what is important right now is people really need to get educated. Like the Our guys, we have a lot of projects educating people about Bitcoin, but we need to do more. A lot of people are getting the wrong messages about the blockchain or
Are you teaching your
cryptocurrency
team
ecosystems. Yeah.
about Bitcoin?
So we need to. Yeah, of course. All team members, they learn on the work because you can't be a miner without knowing or understanding Bitcoin. You understand? So all our team members, we teach them what Bitcoin is, the advantages. So we are doing our part. Just hope guys who are actively in the ecosystem, particularly on the educational aspect, should really do more.
Yeah.
We really need
So where
them.
did you get started, Tiamura?
Yeah.
You went broke, is what you said. And then what made you get into mining? What happened?
Yeah. Yeah, like I said earlier, I went broke. I lost all my money in the DeFi when the market crashed around 2019 or 2020, and the market was down. I went broke, and I was looking at all the top 10 cryptocurrencies. I was like, okay, this Bitcoin is holding strong. What's up with Bitcoin? Why is it holding strong? So I'm always inquisitive. I try to research more. Then I started searching about Bitcoin. I came about the white paper. That's where I learned about the Bitcoin mining aspect, the hardware aspect. And I was pretty good with hardware. I was always fascinated with computers, processors, you know. I was like, so you could have a machine you plug into the wall and you don't really need to worry about looking at the charts, the Bitcoin charts, you know, when you buy a cryptocurrency, you keep looking at the charts overnight, like, okay, when am I gonna 1x, 2x, 3x? You understand? So that's part of what really fascinated my interest. So I did my research. I tried to contact someone locally to get the hardware, but we could not get it because it's too early. Nigerians are not really mining Bitcoin then. So we got in contact. We got to all these Chinese platform to try to look for hardware. I even the Chinese, we paid the money to the hardware money to. I guess I just took a gamble because I don't even know him. I've never met him before. I don't have any recommendation about him. I was like, okay, let me just try this. Like, let me take a leap of faith. So we paid the money. We sent the USD to the Chinese guy. We waited 1 week, 2 weeks, up to 4 weeks. And you know, if you are waiting for something, it's a day of waiting will feel like a month. It will feel so long. Like the 1 week felt so long, bro. It felt so long. You'd be like, ah, this is taking too long. But finally, we got our S9, the OG. We got our S9 delivered. Yeah, the S9 back there. We got our S9 delivered. I was in my mom's house then. I don't have a private apartment of my own. So the only space we could host the miner was kind of like a walkway between my mom's room. So, man, that woman, I still give her respect. Like, she did not care. Like, okay, put it there. Even if the noise is disturbing her, she did not complain. So, yeah. So we plugged it in. Miner started working. Well, when it started working, it's kind of like when I received my first Bitcoin in the wallet, it feels like magic because and you start imagining the possibilities. Like, haha, so what if I have 10? What if I have 50? I just sit down and let the machine secure the network, and I get my share. So.
Interesting. Yeah, so let's sum up. So you basically saw on CoinMarketCap or wherever that Bitcoin was holding strong, looked more into it, which led you to read the white paper, led you to learn the first sort of aspects of mining. And since you were a hardware guy, I think you once told me that you were a fisherman before. So not much. Not much touch points with hardware up until that point, right? Or just a hobby, right? And then you buy yourself an S9 with the money that you have left over, take a leap of faith, send money to Asia, and basically wait 4 weeks without any communication as it goes, and then receive your first ASIC and plugged it in at your mom's place. And because mom is the best, she doesn't complain about the noise too much at first, I would presume. Yeah, I mean, look, this machine here only runs in this office that you see here, right? If it's going winter time now, I would preheat my office with it instead of using a electric heater. But it will only run in this one room. And on 600 watts or 700 watts to keep the fan speed low. Anyway, but yeah, okay. So you get your first machine. And then what's next? What comes after that?
Yeah, you know, just like every project, when you get a proof of concept, you start thinking about scaling up. So we didn't have much money, so we're like, okay, where can we get money to buy the next ASICs? We want to start growing, so we contacted some of our friends, friends, kind of close friends and family. So we gathered some more cash and we bought I think it's six. Our first order was six, I think. Yeah, six extra. They call it InnoSilicon. Then, because we were talking to the Chinese guy. Hey, what miner is strong that you can give us? He said, I'll give you. I give you InnoSilicon." I'm like, "What is InnoSilicon, bro?" He recommended InnoSilicon. Used one, by the way. So we bought the InnoSilicon, but we had an issue too. The issue is my mom's place, there was no good. The electricity is not that good. It's like 5 or 6 hours a day, so it's not really making sense. So we're like, okay, if we're gonna host 5 or 6 machines more, we need to look for where we can get good electricity. Constant electricity. So we started researching on the net, started going to different locations where they have generation companies. Look at the east, north, and discovered, yeah, north has hydro. That should be cheap. So fortunately, the site is like 200 kilometers away from my mom's house. I'm like, okay, let's go. I called my brother. Hey, we need to go to the north. Let's go check out this special place. So we went down there. We don't really know much people there. Just I think we only had one contact. We went down there. We stayed at the hotel. The night we stayed at the hotel, that was kind of our turning point because the electricity was just there. It's not coming off. A day, 2 days, the electricity keep going strong. We're like, okay, I think we are home. So fortunately, the community where we went to, they had kind of like some incentive to the power company. Because they had to resettle the community out of the dam when they are about to construct the dam. So the communities were giving kind of like free electricity for them to use. So all you had to do is just rent a house there and you are part of the community. So that's exactly what we did. We rented an apartment. We brought in our miners and we said, okay, let's start mining. We didn't know. The problem is when you have a plan, the universe has its own plan for you. So we thought it's gonna be plug and play. You just plug in your you just plug in your miners and you mine. Bro, we just plug only two of those machines and the circuit was burning, like the cables were getting hot. That's how we were like, okay, what next do we do? I had to go back to the drawing board, the famous YouTube, the best university in the world. I had to go back to YouTube, do some research, read about electricity, how it works, the right how to set up a good electrical cabling, industrial standard. Started reading about current, amps, wire size, cable size. So that really gave us an advantage that, oh, this is actually what we
Yeah,
need.
but what was
So
network ever an issue,
that's
Cianbora?
how we,
Sorry
yeah.
if I just put a pin in that. Just to sum this up again, right? So you had 5 to 6 hours of electricity at your mom's place. You got some friends to basically give you a loan. You bought six more machines, and then you moved somewhere where they had power generation. Found a community that had free power. And then realized, hey, after being in a hotel room, they have constant access to power. So let's rent a room or rent an apartment here, become part of the community and start mining. And then quickly realized, if you plug in 6, 9 kW into the wall, your electrical equipment might not handle that so gracefully. All right, interesting. And then basically, this is also what Bitcoin so mining sort of does, right? If you start, you all of a sudden, when you weren't before, you have to become somewhat knowledgeable about electrical engineering. You have to become somewhat knowledgeable on network infrastructure, thermodynamics, or like ventilation. Where does the hot air go? Was networking ever an issue, Siambola, or how did you connect your machines to the internet?
We are so lucky because the community has the standard 4G, the standard 4G connection, the cellular network. So although we might have maybe 30 minutes, 1 hour downtime occasionally with the network, but it's kind of like negligible. So never had network issues. We're having issues with the infrastructure, like the electrical infrastructure. We're having serious issues because the way they do the electrical infrastructure, they just take maybe three cables directly from the transformer, then everybody shares the cable. The problem with that is the guys, the contractors who handle the projects, they kind of like use fake materials. So you might not be able to load maybe 4 or 5 houses will be able to get good electricity. The other ones down the line will be having voltage drop because the cables are not the required size. So That's one of our major factors. So one of the way we try to solve it is, okay, how do we solve it? The contractor said, you will have to take your cables from the power transformers directly. When we looked at the cost, it was so expensive. So we're like, okay, what else can we do? So we started calling some of our friends or befriends, like, hey, can I put one machine in your house? I'll pay you maybe $30 per month. They'll be like, are you for real? He said, yes. So started calling a bunch of people up. Okay, send your money, send it. So we sent, like, I think we hosted in four different locations in our friends, like friends and friends' house. We had to put one. We could not load it up to two, just one here, one there, while we could figure out how to do our own electrical infrastructure. It was kind of fun because the guys we were hosting the miners with, they were so happy because it's an added income for them. Like, they don't really need to do much. We go there to maintain and do everything. At the end of the month, we just pay them their own share. So we felt like we were doing something good too. I mean, we're helping some of our guys out. So at the end of the day, we noticed we could not scale up with this type of model because we'll eventually run out of potential houses to host the miners. So we decided, okay, rather than going to bring the cables directly from the transformer, why not take the machines to the transformers? So that's how we came up with the mining shed, the mining shed idea. We build a mining shed, a mining container. We just take it directly, very close, like 5 meters to the transformer. So that will save us the cost of cables. Because if you want to get much electricity, you're gonna spend a whole lot on quality cables. So, but part of the constraint we have with the shed system is the noise level. You know, you don't wanna go start constituting nuisance to the people around there. So we finally went back to the drawing board, started reading about sound waves, how to isolate sound waves. So we got some inspiration from the car silencer designs where you have to bounce the sound off solid walls as much as possible before it goes out to the vent. So then you use acoustic foams, acoustic materials like foam, fiberglass, you know, to just absorb the sound before it goes out. So that's how we design the container. We put the miners ahead above we put the miners above the vent. Make sure the miners are above the vent. They are not directly facing the vent, both inlet and outlet. And we put the acoustic foam all over inside the container.
Interesting.
And after the project was done, if you are 5 to 6 meters away from the container, you still get 45 to 50
Yeah.
decibels of noise. So it's
Very
kind of
quiet.
good.
Yeah, I
It's
think
good for
we
residential.
already
So we,
explored this before. I
yeah.
think 50 is around like a refrigerator. So 5 meters away from a container, that's pretty significant.
Yeah.
All right, so to just to sum up again, right? So you placed machines with your friends because you realized you know, the cabling was too expensive to sort of have your direct line from a transformer. Well, while helping you guys out on the ground is a good thing, obviously, it wasn't a model to scale up much. So then besides network engineering, electrical engineering, HVAC or thermal engineering, you now also become audio engineers. Yeah, now you also become audio technicians and made sure that the noise was dampened. And you build your own container next to the substation. For which we need pictures, Jan Bola. I need pictures from you so I can yeah, perfect. So all right, so then how many miners were in that first container and how much capacity did you have access to?
Yeah, we did like a 30 kilowatt setup at first for that container. So we have some couple of 3 kilowatt machines. We have 1,500 kilowatt machine. All to that should be around 13 or 14. I think it's 14 then altogether, because we added some S15s after we finished buying the, we added some more S15s, which are much more efficient. So we added some more S15s to the container. Then we're like, okay, now that we are set, we are going good, how do we expand more? So we got the idea to just build another mining shed, look for another transformer to just plug it next to it. So we did the second one. The second one is kind of like the best we did so far. That's where we could figure out the electrical cabling. We could do a proper setup, because the initial one we were economizing, so we just did it hard, the gangster way. We don't have fuses, we don't have breakers. All we are just linked directly to the incoming cable. And we pray to God that, God, please look after this for us. But it was plain dumb too, because so we built a proper setup, good ventilation. We increased our ventilation. We added exhaust fans, make it more reliable, stronger, and works more practical. So then after our second container, that's where ABC Ghana, the first African Bitcoin mining
Wait
miner,
one second
came in.
before you continue, as I want just quickly the connection to the transformers. Who did them? Who connected you guys directly to the container, to the transformers?
We back there, they have this communal way of doing things. So since the community, we just had to approach the community guys, be like, okay, we want to connect to your transformer. How can you help? Can we do that? They said, yeah, of course, but you have to contribute to the community fund, because they have this fund where every month or 2 or 3 months, each household gives something to the community fund. That's where they get money to repair the local grid when they have a downtime. So be like, yeah, that's more important for us, the reliability of the grid. So we'll gladly contribute. So, and they told us to pay some little tax every 3 to 4 months. So that's not the problem.
So
And
they helped you get connected.
yeah, so that's how
Okay.
we got connected with
So,
Transformer.
like, maybe explain a little bit, Siembola, about the time frame that it took you from moving into a hotel room, realizing, okay, this is good, to having two containers. Like, how much time did it take? And also explain why community engagement for anybody that wants to sort of replicate what you did. Did you have any hiccups with the community at all because of noise? Like, what was important on along the way to keep to make sure that the community stays on board with what you were doing?
The one, like I said earlier, like the community, if you want to do anything, particularly in the kind of like the African settings, you have to approach the community first. Like, they live kind of like a communal life settings. So if you have the community by your side, like even your paperwork will be quick. Like, since it's a community, your paperwork will be quick. Everything will go smoothly, because you can't just come into someone's territory and try to explore it without knocking at the door. You understand? Like, saying hi, how are you? Trying to appreciate them. So, and part of the ways we do that is we try as much as possible to do a good stakeholders management in terms of giving them some little things that could really help them in the community. We even had to employ most of our employees, like the security, the contractors, which help us bring in the electricity from the transformer to the container, are 100% the community members. We did not use outsiders. We have more professional outsiders, but we knew if we were using the outside people, the communities might feel bad, like, hey, what's your usefulness here? So you have to be useful to the community. That's one of the most important aspects that really helped us achieve this level of success. Yeah, you really need to engage with the community. And that's that about that. So the time frame we was between the time frame we moved from one unit from my mom's house to getting the container shed program. It took us around 1 year to 1 year plus, I think. Yeah, it should be 1 to 1 year plus, because we're trying to figure out a lot of things. We are trying to learn while we are trying to build. So
All right, so then you went to Afro Bitcoin Conference, the first iteration. What made you want to go there?
when we built our second containers, we finished the second container setup. We bought more miners, and these miners are kind of like in form of a loan, because we got loans from our friends. Like, okay, we'll repay you back then. When we repay you back the money, then we'll start doing the profit share. We'll start sharing the profit. So unfortunately, the Chinese guys, man, they are cruel sometimes. They sent us like miners, which are like the bottom of the barrel, because they know they figure out we don't have experience with machines, so they know we just want a machine that could work. They don't care if it works for a long time. So we had machines like for the first two months, machines were breaking down. For the first 2 months of just working, like machines were breaking down. We were having issues with downtime. A lot of our machines were breaking down, and if you have machines that are breaking down, you know it's your revenues goes down as well. And we're trying to fix it, trying to bring in buy replacement parts like the PSU, the control boards. So what really happened at the end of the day is the money we were making, we were using it to try to fix. 90% of it is going back into the business. We're trying to use it to fix the miners. We're not servicing our loans, so we are running into more debts. The miners were still breaking down because it got to a point of depreciation. The hardware are a point of depreciation. So there's no magic you can do. They will keep coming down. Once you fix one, the other one goes down. So at the end of the day, we were losing more than we were gaining. Yeah. So one of the ways we still thought of, okay, let's try to fix them. So we went back to YouTube. The problem we had with the YouTube setup is the InnoSilicons, they don't have much documentation for them in terms of repairs. So the Antminers, we are having more documentations on, or free documentations on how to repair Antminers. So, and we had kind of our major machines then was InnoSilicon, but we have very few Antminers. Yeah, so it's part of the reason why we switched to Antminers always by mine, because we know, okay, if they go bad, we can get resources on net to fix the PSUs, the hashboards. So the YouTube community was great. Yeah, the Antminer repair community, we joined the Antminer repair community on Discord. The guys were helpful. They gave us free test files. We call it test files, where you can send that test files to the control board, which will convert the control board to a test kit, like the test fixture. So rather than buying a test fixture of $500 to $600, like you could just get a free test file and you convert your control board. So that really helped us a lot. So we learned, I think it took us like 1.5 to 2 months learning how to fix PSUs and control boards. So our first success was, I think we fixed PSU were much more easy to fix, because you just need to replace diodes and transistors. While hashboards were notorious, you have to chase signals, you have to chase signals all over the control hashboards. My fixed chip number one, then before you know, you plug it in, chip number 10 dies again, you go back. So we're only successful at fixing PSUs. Hashboards were so hectic. Like they were so hectic. You might spend the whole day just fixing one hashboard, and you have like 15 hashboards you've not fixed. Yeah, so I'm like, okay, this is not working. What should we do next? We're in the middle of trying to figure out what to do next. That's when we met Eric. I met Eric on Twitter. He told me about ABC Ghana. I was like, okay. He said, I want you to come. I was like, ah, I don't want to come. I have minors I'm looking after. He said, no, you have to come. I'm like, ah, what do I want to go do there? I don't have anything. So I guess he figured out I don't have much money to come to Ghana. He was like, we can give you a scholarship. I was like, okay, I'm coming. So he gave me a scholarship. So that's how I came to Ghana. And I mean, that's one of the turning points in going to Ghana. I met fellow Bitcoin. I met Eric, Philip. I met all other guys who are mining Bitcoin. I met the TQRB guys. That's when we knew. Yeah. We have, that's when I knew, okay, Bitcoin mining is not just you mining in your house. It's a commercial business, like it's a real deal, an industrial setup. Yeah. So I think I met you too. I was at the stand. You were like, I met you in Ghana too. Yeah. I remembered. Asked me, how much is your electricity? I said, it's cheap. He said, okay, we'll talk.
Look at us
So
now. Now we're talking.
that's where we met Eric.
Yeah. All
Yeah.
right. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so while that was happening, who was
Yeah.
taking care of the containers while we were having a nice coffee in Accra?
I have friends. Like I could call like five people to come check my container. It's a community, so yeah, I have a lot of people. It's just 15 machines. And you know, ASICs, if you set them up properly, you don't really need to visit it for even in a month. You might not visit the container if you don't have downtimes. And yeah, so while we're in Ghana, started noticing. That's when Gridless got its funding, the funding from to scale up their own business. That was an eye opener. Like, okay, now these guys are Bitcoin is just not about making money. It's about helping the African continent also keying in into the African electrical infrastructure, trying to give a win-win situation, trying to discover stranded energy, utilizing the stranded energy for a better purpose. In the return, yeah, in the return of helping provide liquidity for the power providers also. So it's a beautiful model, like.
And there's no, I mean, what you guys did is sort of the model case, right? And it's curious that it happened sort of by accident, right? Most miners that you see in Ethiopia, for instance, they're all at substations because that's where the power arrives, right? And that's where all the stranded power will also arrive before it's not sent anywhere else and it's curtailed, basically. So you guys going to the transformer directly is sort of a mini version of that, right? The hydro dam nearby pumps energy into the grid, and then they send a certain allocation to the transformer that you're at now for the community, and they can use it for free. But there's stranded power there, right? And so now think about it, right? You came from a different area of Nigeria. You went to that transformer, and all of a sudden, now you're contributing to the community just by using the power that previously nobody else was using. And there's another curious factor. You said, hey, it's too expensive for us to put the line to the container or to the miners, right, to our apartment. So how about we take our location independent, location agnostic load from where we are a couple meters up to the transformer directly, reducing the fact no other consumer can do that, right? No other electricity consumer can do that. So that's really, really, really fascinating that basically by just trying things out, you arrived naturally by using all the advantages that Bitcoin mining has. You arrived naturally at what happens on a big scale in Ethiopia today. You know, it's the same thing. It's just smaller. All right, cool. So you come back from Accra, Siyembola, and then what?
While we were in Accra, that's when we knew, okay, we have people who have miners, which they don't know where to plug them. So if you have an infrastructure, they can send you your miners and you agree on a profit share. So that was one of the main key step that really changed our direction, because we were always thinking in a way of just purchasing the ASICs, then doing the mining ourselves. So that way we can not really scale up quick. You understand? But if we provide infrastructure, then we will help other people who have the miners but they don't have the infrastructure. We kind of work hand in hand, you know. It's a win-win. So I talked to Eric. Hey, most of our miners are dying. Can you send us some of your miners, maybe 5, 10 pieces, so we can post for you? Like, okay, it's cool. I was like, hey, is it as simple as this? Okay. So they sent us their miners, and that's the beginning of, I think that's the beginning of Trojan mining. I would say at that point, that's when Trojan mining started to become Trojan mining. We hosted their miners. The Greenlight guys publicized our. They gave us a little bit of publicity also, you know, that they hosted miners from us. So that really helped us a little, give us some more credibility, because credibility is very important in the industry also. So that gave us an edge. So after Greenlight sent us miners, we got enough money to be able to set up another mini site. Yeah. So we could, the second site, sorry, we got enough money to be able to stock more miners in the second site. Then Ethiopia came in. We're thinking of expanding, but we're like, this, if we expand, we want to host like 100 to 200 machines. We really need our own power transformers, and the revenue we're getting is nowhere near us doing such. So at that point, the Ethiopia came in. We were to have the African Bitcoin
You
Conference,
mean
Ethiopia.
Kenya? You mean the
And
first? You
before
mean
then, we were
sorry
trying
to
to look for
interrupt. You mean
investors.
the
If not,
first
sorry,
Afro-Bitcoin
Kenya.
Summit?
Yeah, Kenya.
Africa Mining Summit,
Yeah.
I think, in Kenya,
Yeah.
Nairobi. Yeah.
Yeah, in Kenya. Yeah. So Kenya came in. At that point, we were not, our revenues were, we're still recouping our revenues. We were paying a lot of loans. So we don't have much money, but we're like, if we want to get something serious, we saw the impact of the Ghana conference. So that, yeah, we met a lot of people and the ecosystem. Now, what if we go to Kenya, which is mainly for Bitcoin miners? We'll virtually get people to meet people who are actually mining Bitcoin. So we didn't have much cash then, but we had to, the funny thing is we had to get cash, like kind of like a loan, to just come to Ethiopia. Like, we really need to come to Ethiopia. Yeah, because we knew we might, this might be our, one of our saving grace also. So we went to Ethiopia. There's nothing much that happened the first, second day. We just met big guys. Everybody was just big. We were kind of the small boys in the block. Everybody was having one or two big projects, megawatts of projects they were working on. We're just like, that's how many megawatts do we have? We're like, ah, we don't have megawatts, bro. We just have like 10, 15 miners. People like, okay, it's good. But we never let that bring us down. We're like, we are also miners, be it small, big or small. So on the final day, almost the second or the third day to the ending of the conference, that's when we met Marshall Long with GBTC. I remember that I was trying to go check the, yeah, by the way, gridless, the container, the mining container gridless brought to the conference. Nah, we need to give them, like, I don't know, maybe a special standing ovation for that, because it shows how dedicated they are to the ecosystem. Like, They really want people to really have a grasp, like to give them how the industrial setup works. They are willing to be selfless. Like, it's a selfless act,
Yeah,
you
look, I
understand?
mean, it's
So that
yeah,
container.
I mean the sorry, maybe just to recap here, Siambola, sorry for interrupting you. The first Africa Bitcoin Mining Summit in Nairobi took place last year. That's where we also saw each other again. And it was hosted by Gridless, and the next one, which is why I think we keep saying Ethiopia is in Ethiopia. Gridless actually open sourced their first iteration of the Kifaru, I think it is, a mining container, and they had one there, right, for people to look at and for people to touch and see live what one of those looks like. And this event is also where you met Marshall Long for the first time, who, if you go on Twitter under OGBTC, is right frequently posting some of the pictures you guys are producing in Nigeria when it comes to your mining site. So yeah, we're just keeping an eye on time, Siambola. I want to still cover where you guys are now. So when you came back from Kenya, you guys had funds to buy a transformer, correct?
We had funds to buy transformers, so that we set up our first 500 kilowatt setup. So we had just built the infrastructures. We sent us miners to host more machines. We were able to host more machines, so we just basically do more of the management, maintenance, make sure the miners are online. Then so we're trying after the 500 kilowatt setup. I'm like, okay, we really need to start growing since we could handle 500 kilowatts. I mean, why can't we handle 1 megawatt? So started exploring the flare gas, other alternative flare gas in the east, and other hydropower projects which we can tap in since we have all the necessary experience, to set up a proper mining site. So now we are just working on exploring some 500 kilowatts in the east for flare gas, then expanding our 500 kilowatts to 2 megawatts. So this is the stage we are right now.
Okay, but right now, sorry, just to understand this correctly, you have a 500 kilowatt transformer, and now you're expanding it to 1.5 megawatts.
Yeah, we are expanding to 2 megawatts. So we
Okay.
just purchased 1.5 megawatts to add to it. So in the next 2 months they should be online. Yeah.
And this
In
is in
2 months
the
time.
is this in the same community that you were talking
Yeah, yeah.
about before, where you have your two? Okay. Right. So now, how much power does this community still have for you that's free?
Yeah, the total cap is just 2 megawatts we could take. We
Okay.
don't want to take more than that because we don't want to be greedy. We know the community will eventually grow to a point where they will need their megawatts back. So,
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Okay, sure. But I mean, you're kind of finding the balance between, growing and giving them, their revenues from your growth, while also keeping in mind that the community will grow and will outcompete you when it comes to power. Okay. Yeah, okay, understood. All right. So because you have that 2 megawatt limit, you're now looking to do flared gas in the east of the country. For those who don't know, Nigeria is one of the largest oil exporters in the world, certainly on the African continent, the largest one. While they import literally all the fuel products and all the oil derivatives, they are one of the largest exporters. And so there's a lot of flared gas that I've also heard about from other sources that you guys are going after. Interesting. All right. What's the timeline on that, Siambola? What is sort of the goal for this year still?
The goal for this year is just to finish 2 megawatts, get the flare gas project also going, and we'll see what we can do for the rest of the year. But we want to finish the pending project and see what next. Like, as a project, it's stage by stage, so don't want to take too much at the time. Yeah, but.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's very inspiring for me to understand how you guys went from basically being broke after gambling your money into crypto, buying one S9, and now you look at you, man. You're working on a 2 MW project because you met people in the Bitcoin network and you had folks helping you along the way. I think it's a very inspiring story. And with Gamma, we're trying to do the same similar things, right? There is a Ojiola who we just spoke to, also Nigerian guy. He has his own shed, and I've seen videos of it, right? Also near substation. It's a very similar story to yours. So I'm sure there's synergies there. And there's other people coming up in Ghana that say, hey, we've got 5 cent power here at home. And they will go through the same motions, right? They will at some point go on YouTube University to check up on electrical engineering and HVAC and network infrastructure. And it's a very inspiring story. I love it. It's very, very cool. I can't see where you or can't but wait to see where you guys are going next. I'm sure we'll see each other in Ethiopia as well, right? One last question that I have for you, Siyanbola. Do you think that Bitcoin uses enough electricity or not?
For humans generally, like we need to use more energy. Like, using more energy means prosperity. The human race is expanding. Sort of same with Bitcoin. We need to use more energy for Bitcoin, because what I see is if the Bitcoin uses more energy, the influence the Bitcoin is having on the general electrical infrastructure in different regions is amazing. You see a lot of power companies trying to restructure their models. Before, you see power companies saying, we're gonna sell at 4 cents, nothing, no more, no less. But right now, you see them saying, okay, for people who want to buy bulk, maybe 20, 30 megawatts, we can sell at 2 cents since we don't really use them. It pays off to sell it at 2 cents rather than not selling it at all. So we are having more influence in the trend. And at the end of the day, it's going to make the electricity in most regions, I think, cheaper, because the power companies want to expand more and more, try to build more infrastructures. And at the end of the day, when there's more electricity to go around, it's gonna become cheaper. So, more energy, the more the energy, the better for every aspect.
All right, sir. Tell people where they can find you on the interwebs.
They can find me on Twitter at Treasure Mining. You can find me on through my email, Treasure Mining NG, and my WhatsApp, and our website, www.trojanmining.com. So, I find out there, shoot us an email, get
Yeah.
to you.
We'll make sure to leave all of this in the show notes. Guys, again, very inspiring story. Siyanbola went from one S9 to now working on 2 MW. They're wearing great hoodies. They're out here going to conferences, meeting people, pushing forward mining in Africa
Meeting
from
German
Nigeria.
kings.
And yeah, look, I already said I'm very inspired by this. I love this story. I'm keen to see what happens next. Next Sunday we'll speak mining again. I hope you learned something new and got some insights. We often talk to Americans mining, but we need to shift the focus, I feel like, sometimes. And I'm glad I can have the platform to maybe do that a little bit. Guys, if you learn something new, you know what to do. Swan and I will appreciate any comments that are not from bots, any likes, any subscriptions for the channel. Feel free to reach out if you have questions. If you have suggestions for improving the podcast further, I'm very much open to that as well. I'll see you next Sunday. Who knows who the guest will be? I'm sure it'll be exciting though. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right.